Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. One of the most desirable qualities that we appreciate in life is consistency. It is likely that we do not consciously think of this quality or speak of it on a regular basis. Nevertheless, we not only desire it, but we expect it in virtually every aspect of life. For example, when we order our favorite dish at a restaurant, we expect it to be of the same taste, appearance, and quality every time we order it. If our food varies in these important areas from visit to visit, it isn't long before we find a new place to eat out. In the same way, we expect service providers of all kinds to deliver the same good service every time we call on them. We want to know that the workmanship, the timeliness, and the price will not vary significantly from one occasion to the next. Consistency, of course, is a goal in every fast food chain. They want their customers to be assured that the chain's food will be the same every time and in every location. They spend hours and hours training their staffs to not only prepare and present their products in the same way, but to also give the same level of customer service every day. Now, whether they achieve this goal may be debatable, but every consumer certainly expects it. The principle of consistency also applies to our walk as Christians. It applies on two levels. One, of course, is in how we stand with the Lord, our vertical relationship. The second is how we stand with our brothers, our horizontal relationship. For a few moments this morning, we're going to turn our attention to this important subject. We must begin our discussion by observing a word of caution from Paul that serves as the catalyst for reflecting on the need for consistency. The book of Ephesians is one of Paul's most comprehensive discussions on how we are to conduct ourselves in the church. 7 times in this letter, Paul used the word walk to describe how Christians ought to live. His exhortations in this regard cover how we live with one another as Christians, how we live among unbelievers, and how we live with our God and Father who is in heaven. Paul's exhortation in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, lends itself well to our consideration of consistency, because it warns us that we have expectations to meet as Christians. In this place, the apostle says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now we notice here that there are implied consequences to how we live our lives. One does not warn another to be careful if no danger exists. Likewise, one does not use the contrast of unwise and wise if there is nothing at stake in one's conduct. Paul's exhortation to make the most of our time is set against the reality of evil if we do not do so. In the same way, his portrayal of ignorance of God's will as foolish strongly suggests what is at stake. The implication is that one who makes the most of his time will not be foolish, because he will understand God's will. Such a person will also be careful how he lives his life, and thus will be characterized as wise. A person who is wise, as Paul defines it here, will be acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, this is not a unique perspective of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He suggests the same thing in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. In that place, he said, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." These two exhortations by Paul show us the means by which we may achieve consistency in our walk as Christians. They also demonstrate that consistency is measured by the conduct of one's life. Now, this just makes good sense, doesn't it? In order to become consistent in our daily walk, we must make the best use of our time so that we will understand God's will. In conjunction with this, we must put our understanding of God's will to use in our lives so that we will be recognized as being consistent, thereby proving God's will to all who see us. Now, nearly everyone would agree that consistency in our walk as Christians is important and necessary in order to please God. We genuinely admire those whose lives demonstrate this great quality. We may even speak admiringly of their strength and wisdom and accomplishments in the faith. We may venture so far as to express the desire to be like such a person in our own walk. Too often, however, our desire to reach such a level of faith is left as nothing more than a desire, because we are simply unwilling to engage ourselves in the hard work necessary in order to achieve it. In the August 2012 issue of Gospel Advocate, Brandon Renfro, who preaches for the Asheville, Alabama Church of Christ, wrote an excellent article entitled, "The Time Investment, What It Really Takes to Learn." In this article, he addressed the nuts and bolts of what it takes to become proficient as a Christian. These observations are applicable to any endeavor, of course, but they are particularly the case in terms of living faithfully as a Christian. Brother Renfro presented 4 points, which, if followed, will help anyone become more knowledgeable, proficient, and ultimately consistent in the exercise of his faith. The first point that he made is about time. Now, we're all aware of the old adage, Rome wasn't built in a day. By this, we mean that great endeavors are seldom achieved overnight. This is the toadstool versus oak tree argument. Remember, a toadstool appears overnight, but it is of little value in the big picture, isn't it? On the other hand, an oak tree takes years to reach maturity, but when it reaches maturity, it is a valuable resource. Researchers have documented the fact that it takes 10 years of extended effort to achieve a high level of expertise, whether the field is in sports, music, writing, or any other venture. When applied to the pursuit of consistency in Christian faith, the same principle is true. We do not acquire knowledge of God's Word overnight. It takes years of dedicated study to become proficient in the Scriptures. As Brother Renfro says, learning the Bible is a marathon, not a sprint. There is no such thing as instant experts, and this is certainly one reason why God's Word directs us to respect and esteem those who are older in the faith. It is why older men are to be elders rather than younger men. These men, you see, have invested more time in the Word. The second point in this process is practice, not talent, is what sets apart achievers from non-achievers. You know, too often we attribute the accomplishments of others to superior talent, thus consoling ourselves for not reaching the heights that they do. And while talent is certainly important, it is practice that makes the difference. The so-called 10-year rule boils down to approximately 10,000 hours of dedicated practice in one's chosen field. Pro athletes may have some measure of talent beyond the casual athlete, but it is the fact that they have spent more time honing those skills that enables them to achieve greater things. Surprisingly, this extra practice typically amounts to no more than 5 hours a day, often no more than 1 hour at a time. Now, few of us have this much time to devote, even with respect to our faith. But if we were to devote even 30 minutes per day to the development of our faith, we would in time arise to the level of excellence and understanding that results in the consistency that we desire. An important consideration on this point is the fact that the time will pass no matter how we use it. We must not allow ourselves to be content with being at the same spiritual level in 10 years or 20 years as we are today. You know, even if it took 30 years of study to become proficient in God's Word, it would be time well spent and would likely result in a well-done, good and faithful slave from our Master. The third step in this process of reaching consistency is to practice the three R's. The three R's are read, read, read. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13, Paul told Timothy, "Until I come, give attention to public reading of Scripture." Now, the researchers who concluded that it takes 10 years to become proficient in any endeavor also concluded that how much one knows depends on how much he reads. And this is particularly the case with regard to our faith. The great preachers of the past were also tireless readers. They not only read God's Word, but they read books relating to God's Word, to the language of the original text, to the manners and customs of the ancient world, and historical data related to the times and events revealed in the Scriptures. There is no substitute for reading God's Word. The more time we spend reading it, and that means reading all of it, the more proficient that we will become in it, and the more consistently we will live it. The fourth step is to begin immediately on the journey to proficiency with God's Word. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, the Roman governor Felix told Paul, "When I find time, I will summon you." Now, some of our translations say, "When I have a convenient time." Well, as it turns out, Felix never found time to seriously consider Paul's teaching, even though he sent for Paul often over the course of the next 2 years. And the point for us to consider is the passing of time. You see, time will pass no matter how we use it. And if we delay implementing the plan for achieving consistency in our faith, we will find ourselves at best older, but no wiser, and at worst, standing before the Lord unprepared. It has been said that the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. However, the second best time to plant a tree is today. With regard to our growth, maturity, and consistency in the faith, the best time to start was when we first became a Christian. The second best time to begin is today, right now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul told the church in Corinth, "Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." No matter where one is in his or her relationship to God, now is the time to take action on it. The longer we wait to obey the gospel, the less time we will have to do so. The longer Christians wait to begin the process that leads to consistency in the faith, the farther behind they will get compared to those who are working toward this goal immediately. The longer one waits, the more difficult it becomes to reach the expectations that are laid upon us by the Scriptures. The quest for consistency in faith is personal, but it is also corporate. It is personal in the fact that each one of us as individuals must give an account and receive the appropriate recompense from the Lord for our lives, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. This means that if we value our own soul, we must be honing our skills in the faith every day. As we do this, we will produce an effect that is beneficial to all who know us. As we as individuals grow in the faith, our light will shine before the unbelievers, and they will be drawn to the Savior. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. At the same time, we will be doing our part to build up the church and to encourage other Christians. The Apostle Paul spoke of this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. When we open up our dictionaries, the word consistency is defined as the achievement of a level of performance that does not vary greatly in quality over time. You know, this should be the goal of every Christian, to grow to the point that the practice of his or her faith does not vary greatly in quality over time. It is disappointing to our fellow Christians when we are inconsistent in our faith, and it is disappointing to our Father in heaven as well. Friends, as we consider these things this morning, let's make the most of our time by devoting ourselves wholeheartedly to God's Word and to the work of His church. Let's each one of us be one on whom the Lord and our fellow Christians can depend, so that we may be with the Lord in eternity when this world ends. Thanks very much for listening this morning. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.